And for the rest of us, as they're going, if you want to grab a Bible, you can do so now, and you can turn to the book of Exodus, and we are in chapter 20 again. We are in a series in the Ten Commandments, and so Exodus chapter 20 is where we find that. When you think about names, names are pretty important pieces of who we are as people. Many of you know the history of your name, or some of you, it's like, yes, I was named after my great-great-grandfather on my mom's side, or whatever it is, right? And many of you even know the meaning of your name and the significance of that. Like, if you would look up the name Andrew, it means strong and manly, which, obviously, right? And so the name fits. But many of you are like, yes, I know that my name comes from this Latin word or whatever, right? Because names carry meaning and significance. And we even pick our kids' names carefully. I can remember when we started having kids and my wife Molly and I were kind of batting around name ideas. And, she would say, well, what about Jennifer? And I would go, ooh, I dated a girl in high school named Jennifer. Sorry, that name we cannot use. Or even, what about Mark? And she's like, ooh, a guy Mark broke my heart. Right? And so the list kept getting smaller and smaller because, why? There's things attached to certain names, right? Like, I have never in 38 years of being alive met a little boy named Judas, right? Because why? Well, Judas is the guy that betrayed Jesus. Why would you name a child? There's stuff, bad stuff attached to that name. Or no one has been like, this is my little girl Jezebel. Isn't she beautiful? Right? Why? Because like we read about this woman Jezebel and she was terrible. Right? And so there's certain names that we go, ugh, we can't call our kids that because of things attached to those names. You can be offended when someone forgets your name or even mispronounces your name. If you have a hard to pronounce name, sometimes you're like, why can't they just get my name straight? Or even some of you maybe grew up where people made fun of your name or attached nicknames to it, or your name rhymed with other things and it was just like, right? And we get offended by that because there's weight to our names. The third commandment in the Ten Commandments has everything to do with God's name. And if you know the commandment, right, we're told, well, don't take the Lord's name in vain. I think out of the 10, this may be one of the most misunderstood commandments among Christians. I think lots of Christians, and maybe some of you here this morning, your view of the third commandment is, okay, well, just don't say, oh my God, or Jesus Christ when you stub your toe, and then you're good. Just don't curse. Don't say swear words. And that's keeping the third commandment. One book I read, the scholar said, that might be the least offensive way to take the Lord's name in vain. So I think this commandment, like we view commandments 1 and 2 that we've studied already as very serious, right? Don't have any other gods. Don't make an idol or an image of anything. Don't worship other things. And then some of us view the third commandment as just like a good reminder, just like watch your language, don't swear. But there is something much deeper here than just, a prohibition against saying OMG. There's something so much deeper here. So we want to ask some questions this morning, like what is God's name and why is it so special? And then what are ways that you and I in 2024, how do we break this commandment? I'm going to give you actually 5 ways I think we break this commandment and take the Lord's name in vain. And then just to ask, well, then how do we obey this commandment? So Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, here is the third commandment. It says this, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." So the command, like the first question we want to ask is, okay, well, what exactly is God's name? And why is God's name so special that there would be a whole commandment? So think, there's only 10, right, in the 10 commandments, and there's a whole commandment centered around God's name and what we do with it. So the question is, okay, well, what exactly is God's name and why is it so special, so set apart? So the commandment is, don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Literally in the Hebrew, when it's the word take, don't take his name, it literally means to lift or to carry. Don't carry the name of the Lord your God in vain. And the word vain just means emptiness, nothingness, pointless, meaningless, right? So don't carry the name of God in a meaningless nothingness way. So the first question is, well, what exactly is God's name? You may not be aware of this, but God's name is not God. That is a title that we use, like a title like, you know, rock or shepherd or things like of that nature. His name is not God. We call him God as the title. So it would be similar, like when I come home from work, I don't come in the door and say, hello, the wife, right? Some of you may do that jokingly. What's up, wife? Hey, husband, or whatever. But why? Because she has a name. Hello, Molly. How was your day? Or, you know, when I'm talking to my kids, I'm not like, go to your room, the firstborn daughter, right? Why? Because that's not her name. Her name is Lucy or Ruby or Oliver, my other kids' names. And so God is not his name. It is a title that we've given him. And up until the burning bush episode that we'll look into in a minute in Exodus chapter 3, when God met Moses at the burning bush. Up until that point, people called him El Shaddai, which is a generic term for Almighty God, or they called him Elohim, which is a Hebrew word for a God, Elohim, or El Shaddai. So Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they called God either El Shaddai or Elohim, which were just kind of generic titles for a God. But then you get to Exodus chapter 3, and if you want to flip back a few pages, you can do so. And we see that God meets with Moses. And Moses, if you know the story, he's left Egypt because he killed a man, and he's kind of hiding out, and he is in the desert, and he's keeping watch over his father-in-law Jethro's flocks in the desert. And then one of these days, he sees in the desert a bush that is on fire, but it's not burning up. So it's not turning to, you know, ash and turning black and soot and like wood does, but it's a bush that's fully on fire, but it's not burning up. And like, if you saw that, that would be an odd thing. And so we're told that God was in the midst of the bush. He's not the bush. He's in the midst there somewhere. And so we read this in Exodus 3, verse 4, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, or God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. So Moses is beckoned over by God, and God reveals, hey, I'm the God of your father, of your forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Take your shoes off, right? You're meeting with God. This is holy ground. And Moses, rightfully so, hides his face because he's afraid to look at God. And then in verses 7 to 12, God basically, I'm summarizing, God says, I've heard the cries of my people Israel. Their slavery in Egypt. I'm going to save them, and I'm going to send you to Egypt to be basically my mouthpiece, my spokesperson, and you're going to go, and you're going to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And then in verse 13, Moses asks a question. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? This is Hebrew people don't ask point blank questions. You'll notice that in the Bible. Moses doesn't just say, hey, what's your name? Moses, in a roundabout way, is like, so if I come to Israel and they ask what your name is, who should I say sent me, right? It's great. It's a very Hebrew way of asking a question. But essentially, Moses is saying, okay, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, what is your name? If they ask me, right, if I say Elohim sent me, God sent me, they would go, which God? Who are you talking about? What is your name? And so God answers in verse 14. God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. So God answers. He tells Moses what his name is, his personal name. And he says his name is Yahweh, which is I am. I am who I am. Or some translations say, I am what I am. Yahweh. And when God says that his name is I am, he's not speaking, because we're maybe at a disadvantage because we come from a very Western Greek understanding of reality, which is a lot of philosophy, right? Think Descartes, who said, I think, therefore I am. And we think like that. So God is not saying this abstract philosophy that, Abraham, I am who I am. He's not talking like that. Don't think in your Western Greek thought that God is philosophizing with who is God. Well, he is who he is. The Hebrew language is relational language. So God is saying, I am the one who is. I am the one who is there. I am the one who is with you. I am the one who is for you. That's what his name means, that he is who he is. And the gift of a name, right, that God reveals his personal name to Moses is an invitation to relationship. God is saying, don't just call me Elohim. Don't call me the generic name for God. Don't call me that. Call me by my name. What is your name? My name is I am. It's Yahweh. I love that God even tells Moses in verse 15, this is my name forever. This is my personal name for all generations. God's name is Yahweh, and his name is more than just a title. It reveals things about who he is. Right? Names are deep. Right? Even for us, we talked at the beginning that your name carries weight and significance. It, to a certain extent, maybe defines you. It's the same with Yahweh. His name is more than just a title. It reveals certain attributes of his nature and his being and his person. In Psalm 20, verse 1, it says, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May his name protect you. Right? So there's something deeper of it. It's just a title that we give him. It's like it goes to his very person. May the name of Yahweh protect you. God's name reveals teaching and doctrine about who he is. Psalm 22, verse 22, I will tell of your name to my brothers in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you. It's like in their gatherings, let me tell you about the name of this God that we worship. Why? Because it teaches us things about him. It reveals his moral and his ethical teaching. In Micah 4, 5, it says, for all the peoples walk each in the name of its God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. We will walk in the name of Yahweh, right? It reveals, well, what does that walk look like? Well, let me show you what the walking in the name of Yahweh looks like. His name is a reality of who he is. Even the name, I am who I am, it's just a reality of who he is. He's always been. He will always be. Isaiah 57, 15 says, for thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. Is God holy? Yes. His very name is holy. Yahweh. So the name of God is holy and precious. And the fact that he would stoop down and reveal his personal name to his people is astounding. This is his name. The name of God was viewed as so holy that the Jews wouldn't even pronounce it. They wouldn't write it They wouldn't pronounce it. They just said, we don't want to slip up and accidentally take the name of God in vain, so we're not even going to say his name at all. Even in your English Bibles, you won't find, most of them, you won't find the word Yahweh in your English Bibles. But every time you see the word Lord, capitalized, all caps, L-O-R-D, that is the name Yahweh. So even in our English Bibles, I think there's a slight like, are we allowed to say the name Yahweh? Are we allowed to say his name? And yes, of course we are. The name Yahweh appears 7,000 times in the Old Testament. So we don't avoid the name, right? Or we don't act superstitious around it. I said Yahweh. Oops, sorry, God, knock on wood, or whatever, right? We're not afraid of the name because why? Because God has given it to us. Moses says, God, what should we call you? Who are you? And he says, I am who I am. I'm Yahweh. So here's the commandment then. The third commandment is you shall not carry the name of Yahweh, your God, in vain. Don't use his name as if it were disconnected from his person and his power and his presence. Don't carry the name in a foolish nothingness kind of way. So what are the ways that the Israelites broke this commandment? It's really fascinating, right? Because like I said, many of us think, well, just don't say, you know, don't say swear words. You know, don't say, oh my God. But God's not even his name. And the Israelites, they weren't tempted to use curse words like that. So it's interesting when you dig into what God says to the Israelites, this is how you take my name in vain. I'll give you five ways and I'll give you the references. We won't read all of them. But in Jeremiah 23, prophesying lies in God's name was considered to be taking it in vain. Right? So if a prophet stood up and said, I'm a prophet of God, Yahweh says that you shall prosper and don't worry about sin in your life. Right? If you prophesied falsely, Jeremiah 23 says, that's taking God's name in vain. In Leviticus 18, we're told that child sacrifice is profaning the name of Yahweh. So when parents would go to the temple of Molech and they would kill their children as a sacrifice to that god, in Leviticus 18, it says that act of killing your children is taking the Lord's name in vain. Leviticus 22, touching holy things unlawfully was said to have profaned the name of Yahweh. So in the temple system, right, they had, you know, different utensils and objects that they used in their worship, and they were considered holy, set apart. And so if I just strolled into the temple and started touching all the holy things, right, God says, ooh, actually, by you touching those things, you're taking my name in vain. So notice, I don't even have to open my mouth to take his name in vain. Malachi 1, offering polluted offerings, was profaning the name of God. So let's say I had a cow in my herd that was diseased, and I said, you know what? I'm just going to use that cow to offer. Here, God, here's a sacrifice, and I'm just using my diseased cattle or whatever. Malachi 1 says, you're profaning the name of Yahweh. And then Leviticus 19, which is probably the most literal way we can take the Lord's name in vain, is by taking an oath deceptively, by using God's name in an oath, but I'm using it as a way to hide the fact that I'm being deceptive. So, right, if someone came and said, you know, do you promise to do this? And I say, I swear to God. But in it, I'm like, I'm not really going to do that. Right? Did you eat the cookies on the counter, the firstborn child? No, I didn't. I swear to God, I didn't. And their mouth is covered in chocolate. That's taking the Lord's name. You're using God's name to try and cover up the fact that you're being deceptive. So what does this commandment teach us? I think it shows us how precious and holy the name of God is, that we wouldn't misuse it or abuse it, that we wouldn't attach it to things that aren't true, that we wouldn't use his name to try and cover up our own sin, that we would treat the name of Yahweh. And it's interesting, when Jesus comes, do you know what the name Jesus means? It's Yeshua, which literally means Yahweh saves. That's the name of Jesus. Just as holy and set apart as the name Yahweh, so that we wouldn't treat the name Yahweh and the name Jesus just in kind of this flippant, abusive way, but we would treat the name of our God with respect and reverence. So how do we obey this today then? And I think a better way to understand this is to actually ask the opposite. How are you and I tempted to break this commandment today? And like I said at the beginning, I think there's actually five ways. There might be more, but I've kind of thought through five ways that you and I break this commandment and take the Lord's name in vain. So let's just work through these five, and then it'll help us understand, well, how do we carry the name of God in an honorable way? So the first way that we take the Lord's name in vain is when we treat it like a magic formula. This was very common in the ancient world. To utter a God's name was to conjure up his blessing and power. So if you remember a few weeks ago, we talked about the example in 1 Kings 18 when Elijah has the showdown with the prophets of Baal. And what do the prophets of Baal do as they dance around the altar? We're told from morning till afternoon, for hours upon hours, we're told that they repeat the same phrase, "Oh, Baal, answer us. Oh, Baal, answer us." What are they doing? They're treating the name of their God, if we say Baal enough and with enough passion and with enough fervor, then he has to answer us. So, right, there was a temptation to treat God's name as some kind of incantation or some kind of magic formula. I think today we can take God's name in vain when we treat it like that. A common practice in many circles of Christianity in our day and age is this idea of, well, we have to decree and declare things, which you will never find anywhere in Scripture telling us that it's our job to decree and declare things. But you will see many Christian circles, "I decree and declare in Jesus' name wealth," or whatever. You're treating the name of God like something. Now God has to listen to me. I decreed it. I declared it. I didn't just say it. I declared it, right? And I declared it in his name. Now he must. Cancer, I decree and declare that you leave that body. And then we go, see, I said the right thing. I said the right name. Now God has to listen to me. I think that that's taking his name in vain. His name is not a magic formula, right? I've even had people that are like, as long as at the end of every prayer you say, "In Jesus' name," or else God won't listen to you. Well, his name, it's not a magic incantation that we say to get things from God. Listen, God cannot and will not be controlled or manipulated. He's not this vending machine genie that as long as you say the right order of words and use his name in the right way, then he has to listen to you. So don't take his name in vain by thinking that he has to do your bidding just because you spoke his name. You know what it reminds me of? And it's a little bit different, but it's similar. In Acts chapter 8, if you remember when we studied that, when Simon the magician, right, saw the apostles laying hands on people and praying that the Holy Spirit would be given, he saw that and went, "Oh, can you teach me how to do that? Show me the right formula so that I can do that and then get rich off of it." Right? So the temptation is to treat God's name as a magic formula. If I just say it in the right order and at the right time, God has to do what I say. I believe that that's actually taking his name in vain. The second way we do this is we attach his name to something that is false. And like I said before, this is probably the clearest meaning. It's taking a deceptive oath in God's name or invoking God's name to sanction an act in which you're actually being dishonest. Right, it's when we say, right, "I swear to God that I'm being truthful." This is why perjury is such a big deal. Don't lie under oath. Right, so the temptation is I'm going to use his name to show people how serious I am about this promise that I've made to them. And many times it's because we're actually not being as truthful as we appear. So if I just, you know, swear by God's name, then people will, "Oh man, he's being serious." Jesus actually talked about this in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, which is just really helpful. He says this in verse 33, "Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you've sworn.' But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it's his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. So Jesus actually says, as followers of him, there's no need for us to take oaths and say, I'm being honest. I swear to God I'm telling the truth. Jesus says, just be an honest, trustworthy person. When you say yes, mean yes. And when you say no, mean no. James 5:12, James the brother of Jesus writes the same thing. But above all, my brothers, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. So I think we take the Lord's name in vain when we use it as a way to cover up our deception. Or maybe we're not telling the full truth, but we want to seem like we're being really honest. And so we swear by the name of God that we're being honest. When Jesus says, don't swear on anything. Don't swear on your mother's life. Don't swear on your kids. Just say yes or no and be an honest person. But there's another way that we can attach God's name to something that's false. And that's when we say the phrase or say to someone, God told me this, when he clearly didn't. Right? You may have met someone that said, you know, last night God told me this. It's very common in certain Christian circles where, you know, pastors will stand up on Sunday mornings and say, last night the Lord told me this. And then he may give a message that you're like, that completely contradicts what the Bible says. Well, that person is taking the Lord's name in vain. They're attaching God's name to something that is not true. Let me give you a really concrete example. There's a man by the name of Chris Vallotton who's a pastor at Bethel Church, and he's called their prophet, and he often makes stunningly false prophecies that the Lord God told me this. So one, a few years ago, was when Trump was lost the election, and not just him, but many so-called prophets stood up and said, God told me, the Lord of heaven and earth spoke to me and told me Trump's going to win. And then what happens? Well, he lost. And then there was a video afterwards where many of these false prophets said, well, whoops, I was wrong. We can't always get it right. No. If you get up and you say, the Lord God told me this, it's not a whoopsie. You took his name in vain. You attached his name to something that is not true. It is false. So listen, all I say that for is just be very careful. You might notice, if you know me well, I will never say the phrase, God told me this. I will say things like, I feel like the Holy Spirit impressed this on me, but I could be wrong. Hey, I feel like I'm supposed to encourage you with this, but like, take it with a grain of salt. Because I don't want to attach God's name to something that maybe I'm mistaken about. Right? Even if you think about our vision as a church, you'll probably never hear me say, the Lord God has told us that this is our vision. I will say, after much prayer and fasting and deliberation, we feel like this is the way God wants us to go, but we could be wrong. So just be careful with this language that you use, right? God told me this, because what if he didn't? Don't take his name in vain. Don't attach it to something that is false. The third way we break this commandment is when we throw around the name of God carelessly. Flippant, thoughtless use of the name. I would include profanity in this, right? Using God or Jesus as a curse word, right? When my car won't start, or I stub my toe and I say the name of God as an expression of surprise or anger or frustration. Just to think that we would use the most precious holy name in the universe when I like stub my toe, it's just thoughtless. It's just careless that we would use God's name that way. So I think God is saying, yeah, don't just throw my name around as a random curse word, because it's so holy. Use it with reverence and respect. But actually, I think there's another way that we treat it carelessly. And Jesus even talks about it in Matthew 6:7. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. So here's what this looks like. Let me give you an example. Lord God, I just pray, Lord God, that, Lord God, you would just move, Lord God, and that, Lord God, your power, Lord God, would, Lord God, and just, Lord God, I know that you've heard people pray that way. And the name of Yahweh and the name of God is just a filler word because we don't know what to say. And Father God, I just thank you, Father God, that today, Father God, you're here with us, Father God. And Father God, Father God. I think Jesus would say, yeah, don't just heap up empty phrases. Don't just throw around the name of God as a filler word in your prayers. You don't have to pray like that. So I think we need to just be careful that we don't just throw around the name of God carelessly or thoughtlessly. The fourth way that we take the Lord's name in vain is when we attach it to something that is phony. And this is slightly different than attaching it to something that's false. Because think, as a follower of Jesus, you bear his name. Right? Scripture says that he's actually sealed you. He's marked you. You're his. You bear the name. You carry the name of Jesus. So does your life actually reflect that? I think we actually take the name, I think this is probably the most insidious way we do this. We take the name of the Lord our God in vain when I live in a way that doesn't line up with what I say I believe. Right? Because if you're a follower of Jesus, you bear his name, you carry it. But does your life line up with what you say you believe? A few verses, Isaiah 29:13, the Lord said, because this people draw near with their mouth, and honor me with their lips while their hearts are far from me. And their fear of me is a commandment taught by men. Jesus put it this way in Luke 6, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? So I think you and I take the name of God in vain when we say, yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus. I bear his name. And then you go and you live in a way that completely denies what you say. Yes, I'm a Christian, I bear the name of God, but I'm going to go and get drunk every weekend, and I'm going to go and I'm going to sleep around, and I'm going to go and use profanity at work, and whatever it is, right? And it's like, but are you actually carrying his name well, or are you taking it in vain? And then lastly, I think the fifth way that we take the Lord's name in vain is that we just don't call upon his name at all. Listen, you should carry the name. You should take it up. You should call on it. You're actually encouraged to use the name of God, to call on Yahweh, to call on Jesus. He's given us his name. Even Deuteronomy 4:7, it says, for what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? Like, there, listen, there's power in the name of Jesus, and I think we take it in vain when we're just like, I can figure it out. I don't need help. And that's very much our world that we live in. I'm independent. I'm strong. I can do it. I don't need to call out to God. I'll figure it out. Give me enough time. I can have resources. I can do everything on my own. And we just don't call on the name. I think it's taking it in vain. He's given it to you. My middle child, Ruby, a few times has had febrile seizures. So when she has fevers, there's a really good chance that she'll have a seizure. Basically, her head gets so hot that her brain shuts down and her whole body seizes up, and it's really scary. The most recent time was a few years ago, and she had a high fever, and we were giving her like a cool down bath and just trying to get this fever down. And she had a seizure in the bath, and her whole body seized up and her mouth clenched and she wouldn't breathe. And so we pulled her out of the bath, and she was turning blue and purple and just completely, and we could not get her mouth opened. And my wife is calling 911 and calling an ambulance. And what did I do in that moment? I just said, Jesus! Help! Open her mouth, God. And he listened. And her jaw unlocked, and she took a deep breath. So listen, we cry out to God. I know that you've done the same in life or death situations. Save me, Jesus. But don't just wait for a life or death situation to call on his name. He's given you his name to cry out to him when you're frustrated or when you're upset or when things don't make sense or your kids are driving you crazy or whatever it is. When things are going well, to say, Jesus, thank you for food in the fridge. Thank you that I have a job. Like, call on his name. I think the clearest way that we obey this commandment is that you and I, as followers of Jesus, we take up his name in honor when we live consistent with his character. When you and I, if we bear the name of Jesus, that then we are people who speak truth, who seek justice, who do mercy. Paul says this in Colossians 3:17. I think this is the greatest just summary. He says, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So I think that's how we obey. How do I carry the name of Yahweh, of Jesus, in honor? Well, in whatever you do, in the words that you speak, in the actions of your life, whatever you do all of it in the name of the Lord Jesus, and you give thanks to God the Father through him. That's how you and I carry the name well. To end, I just want to read several passages about the name of God being exalted, and then I'll pray and our time will be done this morning. But just listen to the ways that the authors of Scripture, the ways that they describe the name of our God. Psalm 8:1, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Psalm 29:2, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Matthew 6:9, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Acts 4:12, for there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Romans 10:13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then finally, Philippians 2, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh, may we carry that name well. So, Father, I just thank you that you are a God who has revealed your name to us, that you are not a distant, far off, uncaring, disconnected God, but God, that you stooped low and you revealed your name to your people, Yahweh. And then thousands of years later, you sent your son, Jesus, Yahweh saves. Thank you that you want a relationship with us where we know your name and where you know us. God, I pray that you would forgive us when we carry your name in vain, when we treat your holy name like some kind of magic formula that will get us what we want, when we attach your name to things that aren't true, when we use your name just carelessly and mindlessly, when our lives don't reflect the fact that we bear your name, and then, God, when we're so independent that we just don't call on your name. God, I pray, like the Apostle Paul writes in Colossians 3, that everything we do, in word or in deed, everything we do would be in the name of the Lord Jesus. God, help us to carry your name well. God, that we wouldn't view this commandment as some kind of burden that we have to make sure and don't say God's name and make sure you do this and let's just be careful and not ever say it at all, that we wouldn't view your name that way, but that we would see your name as so holy and precious that we would delight in bearing it well. That we would call on your name, Jesus, that we would be people that bear your name well, that people in our lives would look at us and go, what's different about you? And we could say, it's because we bear the name of Yahweh. We're his children. He's marked us. So God, you are the one that has to do that work in each one of our hearts, and I just pray that you would, to be people who carry your name well. And so I just pray all of this in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.